I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut-shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, fuckers. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I am Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Today's news.
Today's news item. What counts as a rude interruption depends on your gender, study confirms. I mean, women probably already knew this, but this is from Inc.com. It's a piece by Jessica Stillman, and it follows a study that was recently conducted by Stanford linguist Catherine Hilton, and it did clarify that there is a gender gap in what counts as interruption. We tend to think of interrupting as an objective phenomenon. You either cut someone off mid-sentence or you didn't. But science actually paints a more complicated picture. People have different conversation styles and expectations, and an interjection might seem like a rude interruption in certain contexts, instead comes across as passionate and engaged in others. What counts as an interruption is a matter of interpretation, in other words, and women are interpreted differently than men. Surprise, surprise. So basically, she played clips of conversations for 5,000 Americans. These are the people who participated in this study. Hilton was able to investigate people's perceptions of different speakers. Sometimes those reading the script were male, sometimes they were female. Did the gender of the speaker make a difference to listeners' assessments of whether the speaker was rude or just excited, even though the scripts were exactly the same? It did. Hilton found a gender disparity among survey participants. Male listeners were more likely to view women who interrupted another speaker in the audio clips as ruder, less friendly, and less intelligent than men who interrupted. The scale of the difference and the fact that women who interjected were judged as dumber surprised Hilton. Finding the gender bias wasn't as surprising as the extent of it, and the fact that it altered perceptions of the female speaker's intelligence, which we don't think of as related to interruptions, she commented. And that article came out after the hearings heard around the world. I know you were away. I don't know if you saw. Did you see any of the hearings?
I mean, I watched. I keep abreast of things through friends. Because, you know, I don't read the news because I hate it and it's fake.
I understand. Well, some of it. I watched Dr. Ford give, you know, answer questions, and how it was really moving, and it was really moving, and her recalling the events that what happened to her that day when this guy was in high school, when they were all in high school, and it was so tragic, and everybody in there, no matter what your political affiliation was in that room, it really seemed like, even Fox News was like, yeah, I hate when people politicize sexual assault, but that's exactly what happened with this. There was a Fox News correspondent that was basically like, this really sucks for the Republicans. And what he meant by that is this man believed Dr. Ford's testimony. And then fucking Brett Kavanaugh comes in, interrupts the people asking him questions, acts like a fucking whiny little bitch boy.
Right, I saw that, yeah.
That needs to get punched in the fucking face.
I mean, I think there's anything that we confirmed is that he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag.
From the day he was born.
Oh, from the fucking, he's one of those white privileged fucking dudes, and not all white privileged men act like spoiled immature pieces of shit. A lot of them do, and he was one of those. I feel like a lot of women watched him interrupting and answering questions going, I know that dude. And it seemed like everybody believed Dr. Ford, but they just don't care, and that sucks a lot. That's really disappointing, not surprising, but very disappointing.
Yeah, because everyone has a goal, and it's like I think they're treating you know, a traumatic experience for her as just like a little something that got in the way of them getting to their goal, like an inconvenience.
And it's like, pick someone else. They're gonna vote the 25 people that the president put on those lists. you can, there was a guy, an expert guy, something who like oversaw the list. He goes, you could throw a dart at that list and any candidate is going to be okay. You could pick a person who didn't rape, like just pick somebody who didn't rape. It's all about the fucking ego and it infuriates me. Oh God, I fucking, Lindsey Graham can suck my dick.
Well, yeah, and you also have no, like, I feel like it's like we have no idea kind of like what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure people are like, you know, there's some shady shit going on.
And also, too, I know Corinne and I have made fun of like trigger warnings on this podcast. I think one of the reasons why I personally roll my eyes at that phrase is because it gets overused and it denotes actual psychological trigger warnings. And I feel like I felt triggered on behalf of all of the people who have experienced sexual assault, because watching this, you kind of knew where this was going. And watching Brett Kavanaugh just be a little bitch baby, and
right,
we all know he's still going to get the job. I mean, what do you do with that? I don't know. You run for office is what you do with it.
Yeah.
And you make a difference by getting all of the old crusty people fucking out.
Yeah, that's true. I did a show that was a fundraiser that Leah Bonema ran for this really, God, I tweet too much, that went to this really, well, because I'm trying to find it in my tweets, because it was a really great organization that was run by...
There was one at Guysby Fest, I thought, that got people to run, that encouraged people
to run for local office. I'm sure there's different ones, and this was a really great organization that was just basically like encouraging women to not only vote, but to run for office.
Yeah.
And we see, it seems to be working pretty well. Listener
suggested that I put together a report because of all of the emails we get every day from people who were raped. And he's like, well, with your unique perspective, you should compile all these and put together a report and present it to Congress. I'm like, I didn't even know that was possible.
Oh,
so
wow.
I started looking into it, and I was talking to my friend Tom, who works in politics in Philly, and he's worked for a lot of people's political campaigns. And he advised me to call, like, I'm a constituent of this. So Kristen Gillibrand is the person that I would call. But if anybody has any other information on how to do that the proper way and how to make a report, I didn't even know that was possible. Everything I Googled was like, write a letter to your congressman.
Oh,
'cause
I was like, I'm sure it has to be accessible online only because, you know, legally they would need to put that information someplace.
Right. But if I don't know. Yeah. If anybody knows anything about this, email us. Sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Because I would like to look into that and know as much as I can. Because I really do feel like Corinne and I have been sitting on this fucking secret of so many people have been raped or sexually assaulted or molested as children and aren't saying anything. And they're confiding in two people who host a podcast. And it's really tipped me off to how fucking terrible of a problem this is.
Well, it's like an open secret.
Yeah.
And with the trigger warnings, I mean,
then no one does anything about it.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends in like mental health care and like psychology, and like they're, you know, very irritated by how trigger warnings have like become kind of a joke, because like, you know, in an actual mental health setting, like
you can get triggered.
Well, and also you need to use it without people like, you know, joking.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, problems like this, like there's this article that this woman who I love on Twitter named Bridget Fetisi, she posted, clapping has been banned at University of Manchester Students Union events to avoid triggering anxiety and improve accessibility.
Nuh-uh.
Students are instead encouraged to use jazz hands to express their support.
Wait,
so it's like things like that is like...
That's a real article?
Yeah, it's like liberals taking things too far. I mean, you got...
Come on, man.
And this is why I know like a lot of other countries are kind of like aghast at how, you know, the kind of speech we allow in America. But to me, it's like, that's my, I would not live anywhere else just because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because just stop it. Come on.
What are you doing?
Guys, today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. Can't imagine fitting another appointment into your life? Well, with Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgments. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/GWF and use the code GWF to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. You can talk about trigger warnings seriously there. And again, that's GWF. That's the code. And Talkspace.com/GWF.
I am a very busy person and sometimes I forget to eat. So when I need a healthy fuel fast, I turn to Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and vegetables directly to your door. All you got to do is add water or your favorite milk to the cup, and then you pour it all in a blender, you blend it up, and you enjoy it. Daily Harvest's new savory harvest bowls are an amazing healthy dinner that's faster than takeout. And their new plant-based ready-to-blend protein smoothies actually have me excited about gym days. Each of the dessert-inspired flavors packed into at least 10 grams of protein with no chalky powders, which is very exciting because mama don't like chalky powders. One of my favorite Daily Harvest cups is the acai cherry cup, and I just pour fucking almond milk in, up to the line that it tells me to pour it, pop it in the blender, blend it, and I leave. I put a little straw in it that's a paper straw, not a plastic straw, because I care about the wildlife in the ocean. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code GWF to get 3 cups for free in your first box. That is promo code GWF for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Again, that is daily-harvest.com.
All right, guys, come see us live. Tonight we're in Rhode Island. You missed the guys. We fucked the experience.
Oh, what the fuck!
But you
know, the show is amazing.
The show is great.
It hasn't happened yet.
And if you're around, it's a Rogue Island Comedy Festival. We're doing 2 stand-up shows tonight. Christine and I are on separate shows. It's Rogue Island Comedy Festival.com. I'm guessing.
Yeah, and if you go to our website, the link will be up there too.
Yeah,
I put on our website.
Absolutely. Then October 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, Atlanta, Georgia. We're at the Laughing Skull. Those shows are sold out. So if you need tickets, you gotta ask somebody else, not us.
Oops.
We even added shows to that. They added like 2 or 3 extra shows from the additional deal, and those are all sold out. So that's completely sold out.
I'm so fucking excited. I love Atlanta.
Yes. And then Chicago, we're gonna be at Zany's Wednesday, November 14th through Thursday, November 15th for 2 shows. And then we're moving over to Rosemont,
which is
Illinois.
27 minutes from Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's like really kind of the same place.
Outskirts of Chicago, if that's easier for you, if that day is better for you. We're going to be in Rosemont Zany's, and that's Friday, November 16th through Saturday, November 17th for 4 shows. And then Winnipeg, Canada, Rumors, that's the rescheduled date for January, which is going to be Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th for 5 shows.
Mm.
And then we have the Bridget Bishop tour coming to New York Comedy Club, their new second East Village location, which is on East 4th Street. That show is Monday, October 15th at 8 p.m. Again, that one will sell out. It's the only day and time we're going to be doing the Bridget Bishop tour in New York City before that show comes to a close at the end, or technically because of Rumors, the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, and Glamour Puss, very special Halloween edition, is going to be on Saturday, October 27th at 7:30 p.m., co-hosted by myself and Wendy Starling at Zinc Bar. As always, feel free to come in costume. We have a lot of fun surprises in store and a lot of things to give you.
And then one last thing, I can finally announce Two Less Lonely Girls is going to be in the New York Comedy Festival, and that is November 8th, which I think is a Thursday at 10:15 p.m. Again, that's also at the New York Comedy Club on East 4th Street. New York Comedy Festival is really fun. You should absolutely come, and again, buy tickets for those because those sell out faster because it's festival. And we're going to do a night of stalking, podcasting, rituals, fandom, celebrity worship. If you want to like come with like blood on your head, just like be fucking weird, that's my place for weirdness. And you can always listen to the podcast Two Less Lonely Girls on iTunes or Spotify. And now, MeUndies, guys, you already know that our obsession is with MeUndies here on the Guys We Fuck podcast, and you know about all the amazing colors and prints they offer. Mm-hmm. But did you know that MeUndies also makes the world's most comfortable lounge pants and tees? I did. MeUndies lounge pants are made from the same micromodal fabric as their undies. This fabric is 3 times softer than cotton, making these cozy essentials perfect for fall. When you join the membership, you can get all this stuff: the lounge pants, tees, undies, and everything MeUndies makes for less than anyone else. MeUndies underwear are the softest things you'll wear in fun prints. So true, so fun. And they change them a lot, that you can match with socks or a bralette. with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. If for some reason you don't love these undies, they'll do whatever they can to get you into the right pair. That's true. Their customer service is very good. Alfred like ate one of my pairs of underwear, and I just like tagged them in an Instagram story, and they got back to me and offered me a new pair. So that was really nice. And if they can't do anything about it, they'll refund you. So it's truly risk-free to try the best underwear ever. I love me undies. You know, sometimes I don't wear underwear, but what I always do wear at night is the lounge pants. I think the lounge pants, as I've expressed before, is my favorite me undies product. They're just so fucking comfortable. It feels just like a silk cloud on your body. I love them. There was room for your big old badonkadonk, whatever you need in there. Just walk around. You can put the waistband up. You can put it down. Like, they're great pants. I always travel with them. Very comfy for hotel rooms. So to get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/GWF. It's a no-brainer. Again, get 15% off at MeUndies.com/GWF.
Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Make dinner in as little as 20 minutes with quick and easy recipe options and perfectly portioned ingredients delivered right to your door. No meal planning or shopping required. This is all true. I use Blue Apron. Whether you're looking for a quick and easy meal or a full culinary cooking experience, Blue Apron lets you choose from a range of recipe options. That is true, because they could say, like, this is the prep time for this meal. This is prep time for this meal. Get out of your cooking rut and experience the joy of new recipes. Talk about your experience with Blue Apron. Okay. It teaches me how to cook things like fucking sesame chicken, which I didn't even think like you can make, because I thought that only comes from like, you know, a Chinese restaurant. And then it's like, oh no, I can make that too. Or a fucking pizza, a tomato and basil pizza. You can make a pizza and it's totally doable. Or fucking seared dumplings. The word seared, I didn't even know I'd ever use that in my vocabulary, but I, Christina Hutchinson, can currently sear things, and I'm very proud of that. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/GWF. That is blueapron.com/GWF. Get your first three meals for free. Blue Apron, better way to cook.
Guys, you know what time it is.
Oh my God.
It's time for the
fucking fun.
Fall editor's box, guys, it's here. Christina knows I was very upset because I thought that I didn't get mine because hers came before mine came, and I was really nervous about
upset.
And I didn't know what to do. And because it's not
maybe your
like
doorman took it.
Yeah, I was like,
it's
no,
really fun.
I can't trust people in my building. Like, right. What's happening? But don't worry, I got it. And
Shagata.
Boy, oh boy, it was one of the best ones ever.
So good.
FabFitFun is a seasonable. Is that even the word?
Sure. Seasonal?
Yeah, I was like,
I think seasonal.
Yeah, I think they mean seasonal, because seasonable I don't think is what we want to use here. All right, seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with full-size fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box. This box makes a great gift for your loved ones. Truly, it's so fun.
It's so good.
And then they list different people in your life, like if you couldn't use that logic yourself. A daughter going away to college.
That's
a
fun.
A new mom.
That's
a fun. Or just yourself.
Fat fucking fun.
These are full-size products, which is the best part, because I really end up liking it. And like when it's a sample, you get like 5 tries of something and then you're done. So these full-size products, you really get to see how, especially for skincare, how it makes your face change. You get no samples of anything. The Fall Editor's Box includes a Ahava Mineral Hand Cream.
True.
A Spongelli Body Buffer in Freesia Pear.
That's
those are
good.
Really fun.
A lot of adjectives.
An understated leather, I don't know, X.
Free People. Whatever.
Free People eye mask. Oh, that's all together. Because I was like, some of these I didn't get in this box, but I've gotten other things. And they do change it up, because I talked to Paula. She also gets it. And
dude,
we
Melissa
got, like,
gets it.
Different boxes.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, Paula texted me privately and she was like, Corinne, are you fucking around with how good this box is? And I was like, I'm underselling it. If anything, Paula.
it's like Christmas every time it comes,
it's
guys.
So fun. Even the stuffing is fun. Alfred loves smelling all the products when I open it. There's a Summer and Rose Brittany tote. I've used that a lot. got two Glam Glow bubble sheet masks. Love a mask, guys. You should be using a mask once a week. If you're
even
not,
men,
get on
even
it.
The men's.
Get on it. Well, if you have a beard, it might be difficult, but if you That's don't, true. You're cool. And then a Cyclo Cobra Bluetooth earbuds. That was a great get. That was worth the whole package.
And it was
alone.
Like it was like the in-ear ones, like the ones mm-hmm. with like the soft, cushiony ear pad thing.
Really good ones.
So fab. So fit. So
and I
fun.
Love Bluetooth earbuds. And also, I mean, mine had a fucking tea kettle in it, and I loved it because it was called Alfred.
Oh, really? And the tea that we got on the road. Remember mm-hmm. the little like, but like the little like science. Little
yeah,
things?
Not to brag, but you guys, we are buying tea out of bags now. We're bougie.
Yeah. So
we went to London once, on and now we can't stop. So truly, you know how disappointed we are in ourselves for liking this box so much, guys.
That is accurate.
We really have lost a lot of respect for ourselves. But the box
I don't
is
care.
That good.
It's that good.
Sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, which is true. I saw it on one of the Real Housewives fucking Instagrams. And these boxes always sell out. Use our code GWF to get $10 off your first box. I mean, at this point,
get it for someone.
They're just giving things away.
Yeah, it's
or get
true.
Get one box for yourself and divvy it up into different fucking
dude.
If you're on a budget, if yep. you're on our budget,
Yo.
Actually for Christmas or like just birthdays or Christmas or like if you do like a bunch of Secret Santas, that's a great idea.
Oh, so good.
If you need a lot of gifts for women, you buy one box and you divvy it up into
yeah,
bags for people.
For a couple bitches.
This is I'm thinking
bitches
of these
in
ideas.
A positive
they
way.
Need to hire me. Go to fabfitfun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Promo code GWF to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 of product for only $39.99. FabFitFun.com. Code GWF.
Oh man, FabFitFun. I'm just trying to have FabFitFun life, you know?
I know. I think maybe it's, yeah. I feel like it's kind of like our podcast in that either you're going to love the title and it's going to lead you in, or you're going to hate the title.
It's going to lead you in.
And you're going to try
Do
to
it
like
out of
hate,
spite.
Hate listen or mm-hmm. hate open the box.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, God
Doesn't
damn
work.
It.
So
I
good.
Love all this stuff.
Yeah, you can't stop, won't stop,
I
man.
Did want this kitchen towel and I didn't even know it.
You didn't even know it. It's a great pattern. Goes with a lot of
Yeah,
because
I like that it's not all, I like that it's mostly
gray and white, man.
Product, but yeah. not. Wow, we're spiraling yeah. into a conversation about this.
How are you?
I'm good. It was a very interesting weekend. I did disappear. I went to the Catskills.
Oh.
I've never been there before. I'm a mountain gal. I do.
Yeah.
I like a beach or a sunset. But I love, there's something about mountains, which is why I love Colorado so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I just fucking love mountains. I mm-hmm. can't get away from them. And so I went, and as you know, I informed you I'd be turning off all my mobile devices, and I yeah. did a really good job.
Yeah.
Except for I sometimes just had gotten a new phone, and I like didn't know how to properly like I had wrote this like very witty away message for my text messages, but then like no one was getting it, and I was kind of upset. But luckily, no one bothered. The few texts that got through were not bothersome; they were actually very lovely texts, and. On my birthday, I just scanned, took mental notes of who to be mad at and who not to be mad at, who reached out.
So it's like, who didn't say happy birthday?
Everyone who was on my list of like must texts, texted.
Yeah, good.
So, and then the only person who I was kind of like, oh, I wish this person had texted me today, belated. And it's fine because we don't really talk that often. Mm. And that was, it was unfair of me to even expect it, but I still got it.
Yay.
So that's good.
Was it an ex?
No. It was a friend from high school.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. It was a friend from high school. And I was like, this is, but really surprised me in a positive
it's
way.
It's so fun. Every year when it's my birthday, I'm just like, this is the best day ever.
It is. It's so
just
fun.
Everyone's loving you. No one's giving you any shit for anything. It's the one day a year where you don't have to put up with anything and no one puts anything in your way. They're just like, happy birthday.
Right.
I love celebrating people's birthdays.
It's nice. And it was, I often like by the end of the day on my birthday, I'm always like fucking overwhelmed. Like it's just,
yeah.
it's like almost too much like stimulation coming at me. So it was nice to kind of like be away, but then just like look down if I wanted to. I didn't respond yeah. to anything until I got back, and like it was very fine. Although I do feel like it was, my weekend was so fucking perfect that I feel like
were you bummed to come back?
I was ready to come back when I would come back because it was like I felt truly recharged, which you know, the 4 days I think is like how long it takes me to actually recharge. But then immediately I came back and was like just
Chichos.
Everyone extra annoyed by everyone.
Oh.
And it was just like, and it just everything, I was like, everything's fucking, I leave things for 4 days, everything's awry. Like it was just a nightmare. But then I was like, you know what, Karen, you can't run from your problems. You have to just come in, deep dive into them
yeah.
and figure them out.
Just have to figure it
Nothing
out.
Was going to change in 4 days. You just fucking ignored it for 4 days.
Right. You took a break from it.
So that was fine. It was very... I turned 33 and I did lick a man's asshole for the first time. So that is my big...
I'm standing.
She is standing. I knew you would be very proud.
Not so bad, huh?
It was tangy. Oh. is my description of it.
Sometimes assholes can be tangy.
Yeah, I mean,
super... Pussies like, are, you know...
Sure,
I don't know. I mean, maybe some taste tangy, but I imagine it might be similar.
Well, tangy isn't even bad. It was just different. Not what I expected.
Yeah.
Because I've never...
It's very soft up there. If you really put your tongue in there, you really feel the guts.
Mm, yeah, okay, well,
very soft and wet.
Yeah, like, it was just really getting, you know.
Did you like it?
I felt neutral about actually doing it, but I liked that the person liked it.
Yeah, that's the hottest part usually.
It was a request, which is why I did it. I didn't just fucking do it. You know, because like I texted Tommy because I was very proud of myself, and he was like, "Whose birthday was it?" And I was like, "That's
good point, Tommy.
Accurate." But I was like, okay, because I...
How long did you like it for?
I mean, a while.
Good. Did you put a finger up it?
I've put fingers up people's butt. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, like, not like all the way up, but I have a pretty short finger, so it's not that much damage going to be done.
Right.
Like, but I've definitely tickled and, like, gone far enough under, like, the ball sack that you're hitting.
Yeah.
Into, like...
You're, like, pressed against
into
it.
Into the, like, the entry
hole?
Of the anus. But, yeah, so I did that. And then I also, I did Molly, and it was a very pure form of like an MDMA, I guess. And I projectile vomited for like a good 4 hours.
Whoa.
And it was like every meal, it could just coming out in reverse. You ever vomit and then you see the stacks and it's just like dinner, lunch, breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, my breakfast biscuit sandwich.
And it was funny.
Did the other person you were with do it as well and also vomit?
No.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Did it and did not vomit. Had done it before, though, but also just think, you know, bigger than me, has a bit higher tolerance.
Right.
And it's weird because out of, you know, all the drugs I've done, Molly is the lowest, like, impact drug I've done.
So I've done
way harder drugs than Molly. Molly is also, you know, synthetic, which is, I am more into a non-synthetic, but whatever. And it was so funny because it was supposed to be like this big, fun, like party night. We're like this expensive room, like everything was great. And, but I wasn't at all bothered by it because it actually felt good to get it out. And I kind of was like, it was like happening
you were throwing up as you were high, right? Apparently, allegedly, right?
I mean, I was the throwing up was way surpassing the high. I wasn't
okay.
It was not the high.
So I'd be like, it's like my food's like re-going, it's like rewind.
No, like I've only done Molly one time, and it was certainly not that euphoric warm rush that comes over you. And I mean, everything was like, I was super well hydrated. I was like crazy hydrated because like I'm crazy responsible about doing
which
drugs.
Which you should be.
I just think it's like I haven't done drugs in a year. Last time I did drugs was DMT on my 32nd birthday. I took a year off. I had a lot of health problems this year.
Yeah.
I was feeling better, a little bit better. And I like actually, and I took a couple days out to clear my system from the other like medicines I was on. Like, again, just really well researched.
Prepped
my body.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid there was too much other like caffeines in my system from other things I'm on for other reasons.
Yeah.
Prescribed by a doctor, and I was like reading some Reddit threads because Reddit actually is for psychedelics has a lot of good information. So it's like, you know, there's only a couple things you can find out on Reddit, like are you a whore or are you a dumb
slut?
Are
you a racist bitch?
and then you're like oh, I could do this. So a lot about psychedelics. But honestly, like ultimately, I was like, this feels good because I really didn't love the last year very much. Like, not a lot about it I liked, and so it kind of felt like this interesting like exorcism of the year. And I was just
Your head start spinning around. That'd be hilarious.
My head didn't. I was fucking twitching like the time I did LSD and the orgasm was stuck in my shoulder. I get a very my body just fucking moves.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's part... Like, I'm very twitchy in real life. So I think it's part of that. Like, people think I have Tourette's a lot and I don't. But I just have... Like, I have some twitches. Yeah, so that was like, and then I was like barfing, and then I was like shitting, and it was just it was just every, I didn't even know I had that much, because I haven't been eating that much lately, and like because I haven't been hungry, and like I just coming out all ends.
Wow.
And so you're trying to be sexy with someone, and
it was
actually great, because like a lot of kind of like fucked up things happened this weekend that normally would put a snag in any like getaway, but we still had a great time. And like, if anything, I feel like if you can get through like something like that,
you're stronger.
You're like, oh my god, this is even better. We have like a weird story to laugh about. And he like ate my ass after I shit. And I was like, what a
hero.
I mean,
you're,
everyone poops
up
every day anyway. So it's just like, but it's just like he knew about it. So I thought that was very funny.
And he still ate that ass anyway.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. A lot of like quiet, like we just kind of like stayed to ourselves in a room for like almost 4 days straight. And this is someone who I haven't spent more than like 3 or 4, maybe like 5 consecutive hours with. Like,
oh wow.
So we went from like 5 hours to like four days straight.
That's a great stage,
long
though.
Car ride.
Yeah.
Like just like, whoa.
Did you talk a lot to each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's nice.
Well, you know, everyone talks more than me, so, but right. Yeah, I was pretty like talkative.
That's a wonderful phase in a relationship, not necessarily like to any kind of like sexual or fuck buddy or romantic relationship or future boyfriend or whatever. That's like a really good phase.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, it's weird. It's very complex, and I wouldn't even call it a relationship. Well, I mean, I guess every like thing between people is a relationship,
right.
But
it's a specific type.
Yeah, it was a very interesting weekend. So
good.
We'll see. Because I feel like sometimes like, it's weird because I never want to tell anyone to do something that they're uncomfortable with, but then also sometimes for me, I feel like I can, if it's good to bully me into doing things. Not that he bullied me.
Are you talking about licking his asshole?
Just things like that. Like, yeah. I definitely need to be like cajoled, and it's a really interesting conversation to have in this time of like Me Too movement,
right?
Because like for me, most things I'm going to do on my own, I'm very like self-motivated, but there are some things that I've definitely, and even like this is fucked up, but like even like doing drugs, like I was definitely like influenced by people, which is like exactly the opposite of what they tell you in DARE, but like I'm so happy that I did listen to those. But these were like,
well, these are people like
trusted conversations with trusted people. There's a deep level
like
of trust.
Shafir is somebody who like very publicly like appreciates drugs, and I always loved the way he talked about drugs, because he's like, drugs can be a great thing for a person to like get to know yourself better or to further explore something.
And with everything, there's a huge risk. Like things can go really poorly. And most people who do drugs, especially of that nature, have a really bad, like
projectile. If it goes poorly, it goes bad.
Like projectile vomiting, honestly, in the span of things that I've heard, is like not even bad at all.
Right.
Like, you know, it's
could
not
be worse.
It's not great, but it wasn't
like,
bad.
Oh, I can fly. Shut up. And then
for sure.
Boom.
For sure. So, but yeah, it was an interesting weekend.
Yay. I'm glad. All right, our guest. Very excited to have him on. Mm. We have a wonderful conversation about a lot of things. Divorce, comedy, fucking and
dogs.
Also, I've also had extensive conversations with him about like UFO theories. This is outside of the podcast, but like he's really getting me onto some of these. He's been sending me articles lately.
This guest?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting.
Ooh.
Yes, he makes a very compelling argument, and then he has the evidence to back it up. Anyways.
Oh, I'm sure he knows that Canadian Prime Minister video. I'll have to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he is a stand-up comedian, and he's the co-host of the podcast Defend Your Movie. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sean Donnelly. Don't you wish everything was still like it was back then, when I could call you anything I wanted to, my lover, my friend, and you would not possess me, when you would undress me, you could not possess.
Okay, we are here with Sean Donnelly. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Uh-oh, did you change your voice?
This is my podcast voice.
Yeah. My podcast voice. Hi, Sean.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. I remember seeing you at Fat Black Pussycat.
Yes.
Like the day after I broke up with Steven, and I think you had just separated.
Yes.
From your wife.
We almost had like an unspoken connection.
Yes,
that night.
We did, because I was like, wait, you're sad too, in a way that I kind of am. What the fuck's up with you? And then you told me that. I'm like,
feels so good though, when you run into someone who's going through a breakup at the same time as you.
It's hella convenient.
It really is hella convenient, because you kind of have the same, you have the same vibe. You have the same like unspoken chemistry, but you know what I mean. Like,
and no one wants to be around you.
So no one wants to be around you. No one. They all look at you like you're a sad orphan.
Yes, but it's like this weird group of people that don't actually meet up, but are like connected in a weird way. Like it's like having a support group of it with like support in passing. We're
right,
like,
it's just a nod.
I'm not alone. Okay, cool. There we go.
Support nod.
It's a support.
But it means
nod.
A lot.
It does, because you know why? Because I hate like burdening people with my stuff. I
love it.
Do you like doing that?
Yeah, I'll tell people if they look at me twice, I'll be like, I'm really sad. I'm going through a breakup. I want to die.
I'll never start it, but if you ask me, don't ask me. Because then I'll go, you know, I'm okay, but you know, it's a bummer. But you know, and I'll go into this long explanation.
The floodgates have opened.
Once you ask me, I'll get into it. But like, the way I grew up is like, don't. If people ask you how you are, you're fine. No matter what, you're fine. Yeah.
Oh my God, who taught you that?
Irish
Catholic. Anyone with manners.
Irish Catholic.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense, because Kathy Griffin is always, you know, like, you know, she says she's fine, and like you talk shit about people behind their backs because she has manners.
Yes.
She's polite.
That's right. That's exactly how it is.
Yeah. Wow. So you never really got your feelings out.
I'm better at it now than I used to be, because I'm I've been in therapy for years, and that really helped me, and it made me more mellow. I used to be, I think, an angrier person than I was.
Because you were hiding all your feelings inside.
Absolutely. So I've gotten better in that. I've gotten better at being more honest. I think I'm a people pleaser type person, and I think I'm like that in relationships. Like early on when I was in my 20s, I was like, I was never appealing, because I was the are you okay guy in the relationship, right?
Oh,
which is
that
awful.
The are you okay guy
is what's
is
the matter? Are you mad? Are you mad?
Drives me nuts. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Did you ever ask someone what they're thinking?
No,
that's good.
But I used to be like, are you mad? Are you mad at me? Like that. Like I was like that back when I was younger.
All right, so you're a people pleaser. You're the are you mad? And you wouldn't believe people in your early 20s when
like in a relationship. I was just becoming. I was like. Like you said, it's a pussy dryer. Like, I literally was, like, I think I was just too needy in that way. And I just wanted to make sure. The way I grew up, it's not a bad way to grow up. Like, that's why, with all the stuff that's going on now, like, I don't get why. Guys, the way they treat women sometimes, I don't get it. Because the way my dad raised me was like, you put your mom and your sisters on a pedestal, and then that's it. Which is good in a way.
So the opposite. It's still an extreme, though.
It's an opposite, but what it does is it you lose self-worth with it. Like, you lose. Like, so if you're like, I'm like, as long as you're okay, like, if I'm in a relationship, and I'm like, as long as you're okay, if you're happy, then it doesn't matter what.
So you never tended to your own needs.
Exactly. Oh. And as I get older, I'm becoming more in touch with that, and I'm more like, I'm gonna stand my ground, and I'm gonna be more for myself and be more honest and be more transparent than I was.
And you were married.
I was married.
How long together total were you?
We were together for almost 10 years total. Wow. Yeah, and then we were married for like 6.
Okay, 6 of those years were marriage.
Were you a comedian when you met?
Yeah, but it was early on. I was 2 years into comedy.
Okay.
So it was a much different time.
I was going to say, going higher in comedy, getting higher in comedy, like, it just changes, like, your lifestyle.
Yep.
And, like, kind of, like,
changes everything.
It takes over your whole life.
Yeah, and it's just so hard for anyone who's not a comedian to adjust to that.
You almost become a pod person, because what happens is you lose all your regular friends, all your friends are comics, and then when you start working, like, weekends, you're working weekends, and then when you're home, like, I would work weekends, but I'm not famous, so I would go, and then I would work the week at clubs, because I'm like, you need to make money.
Right.
So
of course,
it gets to the point where you're just not seeing each other.
I was gonna say, if she has a day job, like a regular person,
we'd see each other like by the end we were seeing each other like 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
Even when you're dating a comedian, it's tough, because if you have different spots in different places, and then by the time you're done, like, it's exhausting to meet up at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning every day. Like,
it
sucks.
Right, exactly.
Did you realize when you guys were together that you put women on pedestals, or is this something you realized later?
I think early on, I don't know for sure. Early on, no, I think I was in it. I think I was in it early on. I think I probably, maybe I had some kind of inkling, but I think the more, what therapy did was therapy kind of helped me realize it more and more. So I think I was the guy more in the beginning, and then over time I realized, oh, wait, this is not the most ideal situation. Like, yeah. I shouldn't be like this. I need to be more worried about myself.
I realized the same thing about my relationship, or about how I conduct. I put people on pedestals and I build them up to be some grandiose thing for different reasons and why you did that. But once you realize that and you look back at the relationship, you're like, this could have never worked, because now I have to actually put my needs first for the first time in my life. And I'm a different person, kind of.
Right, exactly. And that's also became a different person. Like you said, like early on, it was 2 years into comedy. I was doing open mics. You don't do weekend spots.
Right.
And then I had a day job. So it'd be like that. And during the week, I'd do a mic and then go hang out, or go do a show and then go hang out, and we would date and whatever it was. And then as things got better and better, as far as career stuff goes, it just got less and less time, and you grow apart, and it becomes like an issue.
And I also think when someone starts dating you, when you're starting on those open mics, they kind of think like, oh, this is a hobby, or this is a phase, this will pass, this is a cute thing Sean's doing. And like, I don't think people really believe in it until you start like getting like little achievements along the way.
But I had a little bit of a different situation because she's an actress.
Okay.
And so she was it's very similar. So she got the open mic thing, and she knew like the whole like following your dream thing. Like she was doing the same thing.
She understood that.
So early on, she was very like supportive of of comedy. Like very, very supportive.
That's great. And like, what was her schedule like?
Her schedule was like day job, and then if she was I think at that time when we first met, she was in like acting classes.
I was gonna say, I was like, 'cause the actors have crazy schedules too.
Yeah, so it was still I just looking back, I'm like, I know for a fact we had way more time. We also worked near each other, and we lived really close to each other.
Okay. So in that fatuation stage where you're obsessed with each other, you really had
you're excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I miss that.
Yes. Right, exactly. You want that. So like, that's the feeling that you want. And then once you like, you know, over time, the life happens and whatever it is. Like, at the end, I don't blame comedy. Comedy's not the reason that, it's not the only reason that it broke up.
Yeah.
But it's one of the reasons.
Yeah. May I ask, I have this theory of, I know with sex and how frequently couples have sex, that ebbs and flows and people go through phases. But I mean, for me personally, the sex kind of stopped, but I kind of stopped the last couple times Steven and I had sex. I was like, I don't know if I really want to.
Yeah, I think I had a very similar situation.
Yeah.
It basically stopped.
And who broke up with who?
I brought up the idea like, hey, if this isn't working out, I think we should separate or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, but I'll tell you, I think when it initially happened, there was like a huge weight that was lifted off our shoulders.
We were both thinking
the same thing. We were both feeling it.
Did you try couples therapy or?
We had tried it in the past. And then I think at that point, I think it was like at a tipping point where it was like, we just changed as people. I think that one of the issues that happened, and this is from my point of view, that I think we were like friends who got married.
Yeah.
I think that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
And I still love her. I love her.
Yeah.
And there's no animosity whatsoever. I just,
that's wonderful.
I think I don't, it got to the point where the better I get, that's what sucked about it. Like, the more I was not in my own, like I said, the are you mad guy, like the more I became out of that shell, the more I was like, oh, I'm comfortable enough now admitting that this isn't right, and I don't feel right.
Yeah.
And I know something's up. And then like, I think there was, you know, so I think overall, over time, that's what growing apart is. But also, I did change as a, I think I changed.
People change.
Yeah,
10 years
exactly.
is a long time. You're a different
it's a long
person.
Time. Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 40. I just turned 40.
Okay, so you met her when you were, okay. So
I met 30. Her when I was 30.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like right before my 30th birthday, I met her.
Wow, okay. And do you see each other?
No.
How do you negotiate that? Yeah, do you want to? Or
we have a dog. And,
oh,
and but it's
say, yeah.
We have a dog, but right now the dog, I have a roommate, so the dog lives at my mom's house right now.
Oh.
So, and he loves it. It's out in Long Island, and he loves it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you know, he goes out in the deck, and he hangs out, and he passes out. So, she hasn't really seen the dog, but that's more because the dog was mine. To be honest, one of the big things that I did that a lot of women get mad at, she one time said we could get a dog once we were living together. I mean, once we lived together, I just brought the dog. I literally, that's what, it was funny, but also like, kind of messed up. I screwed up.
Where did you get it so fast?
I got it at this pet store.
Oh, because I was going to say, I was like, if you adopted it, it takes fucking forever. Okay.
Oh, no, it was a pet store that my friend went to that I knew the dogs were like healthy.
That's such a dude move.
Oh, it's totally it. I literally, she opened the door and I was like, I did it. Like, I just said, I did it.
And you had the best intentions.
I did. And yeah. I was like, well, you already said yes. Of course. I just didn't talk to you about it recently, but
right.
I was
right. She probably wanted a little, you know, help picking out the dog, probably.
Probably. But, so, you know, the dog's my dog, and I know that. And so when
that's why you did it. You're like, I will buy this dog because if we ever split, it's my fucking dog. Good move, no, Donnelly.
Then, yeah, right. Exactly. But then, I was kind of like, I figured that she would. She hasn't really seen the dog since, but like, we're in contact. I give her updates about the dog. That's what happens.
Like, the dog's basking in the sun now.
You gotta get like a Furbo, and then she can video in and give him treats and see him.
What?
Really?
Yeah, it's like a baby cam, but for dogs. It's not even that expensive.
It dispenses treats?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Wow. I spent a lot of time reading about dogs.
That's like pet Black Mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to give you a treat, but I don't want to look you in the eye. Wow.
So,
okay.
So yeah, so it's my dog, but now right now he's in Long Island because I have a roommate and I don't want to ask my roommate, hey, can you watch him for the weekend? Yeah. Can you do this? So my mom was nice enough to be like, hey, bring him out here and he'll stay here. And you come out and visit them.
Did she have a dog already, or is that her first, her new dog?
My mom.
Her dog,
yeah. I had a dog growing up when I was a little kid, and then we got a dog from my dad before he died that lived for like 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Black Lab. And then a few years ago, we had to put that dog to sleep. And then, so that's like the third dog in the house. Like, she's used to dogs. And she did it to help me out.
She needs some company.
That was like the most rock bottom. If you really want me to get like.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That was that when I gave her the dog, that was the lowest point of the separation thing. Because I literally was like, in the new apartment, I'm not a neat person. My room was like just like a disaster.
So you moved out of the apartment you shared with her?
I moved home for a month in Long Island. And that was like, my mom is great for, like, she's a sweetheart, but I just.
Doesn't matter.
I got out of there. That's why I hopped in this apartment with my friend, because I was like, I have to get, I'm 40.
Well, I can't, when adults just can't live with their parents. Exactly. It's just like, it's not it's even about, it's depressing. Thing. It's nothing about anyone's character or personality. It's just facts of life.
Can have the dopest mom in the world, that's still going to be rough.
Yeah. Exactly. So. But the moment that I had before she took the dog was the dog was living there, and the dog is a reminder of the marriage. Like the dog, like, that was a big deal. Like we took, it's like having, it's a not child, a kid, but it's like having a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I get that. Same thing. Yeah. I got a dog like right with, like, it was kind of like with my ex, even though it's my dog. And like, it was like, I felt just like we were getting divorced, and like,
yes,
I was like, you can come and visit. And like, cause they had such a bond, and like, it's not the dog's fault.
Yeah. And so did my ex. And like, my dog loves women. And I think because I was with him all the time, and I was the one that was kind of enforcing things more.
Yeah, you were the.
I was like, I think I have yelled at him, and I, you know, whatever. So
your
I think
was the novelty.
My ex was like, he loves her.
Sexy
right?
mistress
how,
coming in.
How were you crying a lot after?
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you. This is, I've never told this story. It's not that much of a story. So
good, we love an exclusive.
Yeah. Exclusive, said exclusive.
All right.
So I was literally like, the setting was just, I'm in this 2-bedroom apartment in Long Island City, Queens. I moved. You know, it was like the separation was like a month or two old. I'm also the
and
type
that,
where
that apartment was where you lived with her.
No. Oh, okay. This is with my buddy roommate. Robert. Yeah. So I'm also like, even though I'm better with therapy, I'm also still have the personality where I don't address things. I still have things that I'm not, you know, dealing with. And I think I had a different idea of what I was going to feel like when I was out of it. I think I was like, oh, this is good. We both felt this way, and I'll recover pretty quick. That's how I think I thought. Like, not recover, like forget too. About it. But I think I thought like,
you'll be okay.
I'm going to be happier. So I'm happier. But it's like a weird, different kind of happy, because you're still sad and I'm also a routine kind of guy. So my routine, it was so jostled up and so changed.
Turned on its head.
I'm literally, and I should have been happy, because what happened was I got these 2 weeks of gigs that I would be away for.
That's good.
And I was trying to figure out, like, I had the dog like looking at me in the room, and I was like trying to figure out like, how am I going to leave him for 2 weeks? And then I just, on the phone with my mom, and she was like, don't worry, you take him, I'll take him and then we'll figure it out from there. And I just started like hysterical crying on the phone because I was like, it was such a big help. And it was so like, it was the moment where I was like, oh, I'm fucked up. I am not dealing with this.
But also too, it's like, oh, I'm alone and I need other people to help me now.
That's exactly what it was.
Her.
And I'm sitting in a room that has like my, like I'm not, I felt like a failure. You feel like a failure. You feel like you're like, you feel like it's not going to get better because you're like, oh my God, I have this room's a disaster. My clothes are everywhere. The dog is just like hanging out. Like he had a nice sweet deal. Like the apartment me and my wife had, like it was in Sunnyside. I would walk him every day. It was quiet for him. Aww. So I didn't like, I kind of assigned my own feelings to him and I'd be like, he is, and even though he did, probably didn't care, but I was like, I'm like, oh, you're upset by how everything got uprooted and I feel bad that I'm doing this to you and I'm keeping you away from my ex and and everything built up. And then when this opportunity came along, like it was a rush, they needed a rush answer. So I felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then when I spoke to my mom and she was like, and my mom's older too, so I didn't want to burden her. So like you feel like you failed, you feel like you're burdening somebody, but also like you're also like, all those emotions are coming to a head and then that's, I just lost it at that point.
It's weird when you're in a relationship for that long, like that's your person. That's the person that will support you when you're when you're upset or sad.
Yeah,
they'll
you get
hold
used to
you.
It.
They and that like to not have that, oof, it's rough.
It's rough because you feel, it feels like when you miss a bar on a ladder or something.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
you're
you
right.
Even when they have that weird like like that whew, like you know, like whatever it is.
And you have to rebuild that for yourself and that's, it's sad, but also it's for the best, blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly. You know how I always felt, and I always wanted to say this on stage, but I never had a funny thing to say after it, is that when the sadness that you feel after this kind of breakup is like when you have to sneeze, but you can't sneeze, but with sadness. So it, like the sadness comes up, and then it dissipates. It comes up, and then it dissipates.
But you never
there's
get the relief.
There's no payoff. Like there's no, especially early on. Like I guess until you get into that next thing that you're really into, there's no payoff of like a, oh, okay, I'm past this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just creeps up on you over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you been dating anybody or seeing anybody?
I've gone on dates.
Yeah.
And, no, I have not been in a relationship.
Yeah.
And to be honest,
it's been four months.
No, it's been a year. Months. It's been a year.
Oh, a year?
Yeah. It was happened last fall.
I was going to say, I was like, because you were, because I knew, I just knew, like, people were like, Sean's really sad. He's walking around sad. I just heard,
he's
like,
walking around the
I don't run
sad.
Into you a ton, but I just felt so bad. And then I felt even worse. Like, I'm like, well, we don't need to everyone talk about it.
Well, to be honest, like somebody told me, I did not know that I was walking. That's what I'm saying. I had no idea I was walking around sad.
I saw you. I'm like, you're sad too.
Yeah. By that point, I think I figured it out. But I'm like, I didn't know. I knew I was sad, but I didn't know people were talking, which I'm fine
with. It's a shell shock, though.
It's a shell shock.
And that immediate freedom feeling does feel good. And it's kind of intoxicating. Even if it doesn't mean, it has to mean you're hooking up with anybody, but you're like, oh, wow, I can.
Yeah.
And then it gets lonely.
It's really lonely. Did you have moments of certain things
still
that would set you off?
I
still like the coming back from spots, the on the train going to a different place, that's the moment that would do it for me, because I'm like, I'm not going, even though that was, because that was the last, it was only 10 minutes we'd see each other a day, so like I was used to going back seeing her and it'd be like it was comfortable and it was relaxing and it was like I was used to it.
Would you text her a lot?
Do I now?
No, when you were together. Would you guys like
text
each
other? Yeah, we
were
constantly in contact. But you guys weren't?
No, we did. But I would want to tell him stuff all the time, and I can't.
Now?
I still do.
I do. And I've written texts that I probably shouldn't have.
Oh, really?
You
sent them?
I sent them. I sent them. But we're friendly enough where we can do it. Like, but I think on my part, there's more of a thing that's like... I want there to be more of a connection than there is, but I get why, if she doesn't want that, I get why she doesn't want that. I totally get that.
Because it makes it more difficult.
It makes it much more difficult.
Yeah, even if you both are like, this relationship has expired, even if it's both, it's still difficult. Yeah.
Well, we know that's what should have happened, but I always tell people with like the best line ever, when you're talking about, like, and I'm American, but when you're talking about Irish people, like it's uncanny like how many similarities there are, because there's a line in The Departed. In The Departed, there's a line that Matt Damon, he's like, if I'm going to end it, you're the one who has to end it because I'll deal with something being wrong forever. I would have done that. Like, I, even though I was the one who brought it up, there was like the perfect moment to do it. When I brought it up, I it was just the activities that happened the days leading up to that, I was comfortable enough to bring it up. Like, I knew there was a disconnect and I knew it was done.
Yeah.
And I knew that something was
there up. A moment when you knew it was done?
Yeah, there's a couple moments. One I can't talk about, but like, I think there was moments that I knew it was done. What happened was where it ended was we went on a trip to LA.
Okay.
And then we went on like a little trip to Joshua Tree. So it was like very cliche, like in the desert, like going over your feelings. You know what I'm saying? But
were you on drugs or no?
No drugs.
Oh, okay.
Thank God. We were out there and it was really nice. And then that's when I brought it up. It was like the first couple hours of being on that trip. So the whole rest of that trip was very...
Sean, and your timing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Waited. I know, but it was kind of like... It was kind of good in a way.
But
like,
if
it was
on your mind, how do you not bring it up? That's such a big thing.
Yeah, it was on my mind. It was like palpable. It was like you could feel the tension and you could feel that something that she was upset and I was upset.
Yeah,
so, like,
that is the saddest. Yeah, that is so fucking sad.
And it's what should have happened. And we didn't have kids, which is good. And we had the dog, but that, you know, it's fine. And it's what I want her to be like, that's the thing now where I'm like, I hope she's happy. Like, I think she is overall.
Yeah.
I think I'm happier too. But I think I kind of, you know, you like get, you reminisce over like how that feeling was. Like, I want that comfortable feeling again. I just don't have that comfortable feeling right now, but I will at some point. I just don't have it now.
Yeah.
But like, but early on, like I told you that story with me, like in the room and all, the dog was there and I'm on the phone, I'm crying. Like at that, I was like, oh, it'll never happen again. I made a terrible mistake. I want to go back, you know, like that kind of thing where I was like, oh, I screwed up. Because when I had when you have the comfortability of the situation, you're like, I can make these very, very bold life choices because I'm in a fucking comfortable situation.
Yeah,
and then once you get out of it, you're like, oh, did I screw up? Like, should we have worked on it? And
you're
the answer is no.
Scared to do everything.
You're scared to do
but
everything.
But you have to, the goal is to be the person that gives yourself that comfort.
Absolutely.
And it's possible. And that's what is going to build a strong foundation for if you get in another relationship, it's going to be even better.
Well, that's kind of what came out of it. I think I made a lot of assumptions in that relationship. I think I think I was assigning a lot of, like
what?
The kids, like having kids, okay? Like, I know we talked about it when we were dating, but we didn't talk about it as much as we should have. I want to have kids more than she did.
Oh, interesting. I was going to say,
I'd rather have, like, you could say, hey, like, I had to quit comedy. I would quit comedy to have kids.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like I love comedy, but I have a thing about where I want to have kids. I like kids.
So many men, it's so funny because everyone always thinks like it's women who are pushing to have kids, and like every experience I've had, like, it's been a big thing that the guy wanted to have kids and I didn't. Yeah.
And she just had a different outlook on it. Mm-hmm. I think I probably should have talked about that more at length, and that was my fault.
Was her outlook, I think, probably not.
At first, I think it was, she was like a soft yes. And then I think over time, she was like, I don't think I want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, with me or in general, I don't know. And I'm not sure if I should talk. Like, whatever. I don't think that's fine. But from my point of view, I wanted to.
Yeah.
It was one of the issues we had. And so then what happened was I lost my train of thought. But basically, we didn't... I totally lost my
train
of thought.
Don't worry about it.
Sorry. But, like, that's one of the things that, like... what I mean is... If the next person that I date, like, I would be like completely upfront. I'd be like,
yeah.
No, I don't. Yes to this, no to this, yes to this. Yeah. I think before I was like, yeah, whatever, that's totally cool. Like, I think I was just placating when I should have been like, no,
would that
I disagree.
Ever get you angry in the long run when you were people pleasing? Because that's an issue that I have.
Yeah,
and
I think it grows
really
resentment. I think that's what it does. Yeah.
Bitter anger, and it's bad.
I think so. Yeah, I think I read into texts. I honestly, you know, the tone of text.
Texting is such a nightmare.
It's such a nightmare.
It really is.
And I think I absolutely would grow a little animosity because of I wasn't expressing myself properly.
Right.
And I think over time I've learned to be better. I don't think I'm 100%. I just think that I'm better than I was.
Man, therapy's the best. I fucking love therapy.
I love it.
It really helps you not go insane.
Yeah.
So, sex. What are you having it? When'd you first have it? Were you crushing? Were you slaying puss?
In general,
like,
I mean,
when did you lose your virginity? Yeah,
I lost my virginity. I think I was 17. I think I lie usually and say that I was younger, but I'm
17 is a
lie.
Completely
it's
appropriate,
totally
respectable age.
But hey, I wish I waited till I was 17.
How old were you?
15.
Oh, really? Yeah, I was 17.
Ari Shaffir was well into his 20s. If it makes you feel better,
was he really?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I always forget that, and I'm always surprised by him.
Yeah, look
really?
At that stud now.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I, for the longest time in my life, I think I just said 16 because I thought that sounded more normal. But no,
one
I was,
year difference.
I mean, no 17. One's getting horny for 16-year-old boys anyway, so like, it doesn't matter.
Very there was true, one, yeah. But he got killed off the show.
But what you call it? I was 17. It was with a girl, and I was. I don't think we weren't like full on dating, but we were like, it was like we were friends that
we
like
were full on fucking.
We were full on fucking, yeah. And she was, it was really, it was a pretty, it was like, I remember it being, I don't think I was great. No, I was not good.
No which one
I think
is.
Yeah, nobody is. I think, I don't even remember, like, there wasn't any crazy details about it.
Do you, well, so Irish Catholic family, what were you told about sex? Were you told it was bad? Or, and do
you're
you
told,
have,
you're told nothing. Like, you're told,
oh, zero.
Like, I wish that I had, a conversation that was like, I wish I was like the most transparent thing with my dad. And I think he joked around once. It like almost like that old, an old thing that like even comics did. Like I think he literally one time was like, you know, right?
Yeah.
I think he did that. I think he literally went, you get it. And I'm like, yeah. And I just, and he was like, all right.
Did your school teach you anything?
Yeah. Health class did. Okay. But also your friends do. I remember when I was little, me and my buddy, it's funny. We used to say stick and hang because we thought what sex was is you just stuck your penis in and hung out.
That's what I thought it was. I didn't know there was thrust involved.
Stick and hang. I had no idea.
Wow.
We thought it was so cool. Like stick and hang, right? Like, I think because we thought it was like this cool euphemism when it was just awful.
It's just not what sex. When did you, when was the moment you realized that there were thrusts involved? For me, it was when I watched Vanilla Sky.
When did I don't know when I realized it. Probably because, all right, instead of, I'm gonna get too graphic here, like, just, instead of,
it's guys be fucked,
right? Exactly. Yeah, see, there's the Irish
graphic
Catholic
away.
Right there.
Yeah,
but like the I didn't the my first dealings with masturbation wasn't masturbating, it was humping pillows.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's
I think
common.
That's when I got it. Sure. I think that's when I got like, oh wait, you have to do this, is what you have to do,
you have to go in and out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's emotion here, it's not just a lackadaisical activity.
I did you ever I'm always curious, I've never really asked a male guest this before, but like, do guys when they're young like compare their dicks to other dicks, or like, what did you think of your dick?
I never thought about it until I got older. And then
your
also
dick?
I don't have a huge, I never thought about my dick. It was like a non-factor.
Yeah,
for
it was
a
like
long
it was not even there.
I don't have a huge, I'll just be honest, I don't have a huge dick. So
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. So when guys see each other's dicks all the time. Not all the time.
Really?
You'll see it in passing. You'll just see it
like
in passing.
Locker rooms?
Like in locker rooms.
When was the last time you saw another guy's dick?
Probably somebody sent me a dick pic as a joke.
Yeah,
funny.
Comic.
To do yeah. That. I was going to say, probably comic whipped it out.
Yeah,
it was
a comic, yeah, a comic that we all know that I was about to say his name and I didn't. And so that was probably the last one I saw. But like if I saw one, it's not a big deal anymore. Like before right. that, it was probably like when my friend was changing in front of me and then I just quickly, that's actually what happened. My friend, my very close friend, he was changing in front of me and then I just saw his dick for a second.
You saw his wiener.
But now I'm at the point where it
what'd
doesn't.
What you think? Were you like, is that bigger than mine? Or?
Oh, I was like, I know it's bigger than mine. Oh. Like I've seen, I saw a comic's dick once through his shorts and I was like, oh,
what?
That's so much bigger than mine. Yes.
Mm,
I'll
yeah,
tell you what it
tell
is
me
after.
Afterwards.
I'll tell you what it is after. Yeah.
Sometimes flaccid you can't tell though, and then when it gets erect, you're like, well, that was a surprise.
Yeah, sometimes guys' flaccid penises are
so tiny, yeah.
Like so tiny, like the nose of that balloon dog, and then
no,
yeah,
are you being literal?
Yo,
yeah, for sure.
And it like
see,
it goes into their body.
I was like, oh, that doesn't even look that small,
dude. Yeah, no, guys' flaccid dicks can be tiny, but then they just it's like magic. It's like you know when you take one of those
grower,
little
not a
pills
shower.
And you put it in warm water, it turns into a dinosaur.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like that. And you're yeah, like, I earned that.
I think I was told, and I asked honestly, I was told that I'm average. And I asked,
wonderful.
I was like, average is fine. I thought it was small, so I was like, oh, I'm okay with average.
Okay, yeah, because I wonder, like, is there moments when guys are like, is my dick small? And then how do you find out?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Average is actually like pretty. I think like most women, like, well, not
you
most
could
women,
do
but
more
like a lot of women
dick.
Like average because like too big really hurts.
It's too
not,
bad.
Like,
yeah.
There's so many parts of sex that are painful for women already. Like yeah. A big, we don't need to add a big like cock to it. You know, it's like it's fun for like a sec.
It's fun for a little bit.
And then you're like, this ouch. Owies.
Like, when you are like getting off, like when you are watching porno and stuff, like you'd rather have big dick porno.
A bigger dick. But if it's so big, then I'm like, well, if that were me, ow.
Yeah, I think is different though. Like the visual of a big dick is awesome, but like how it actually feels inside your body, way less feels awesome. Like,
okay.
Yeah, because like, I mean, an alien in there. Our minds are so like clouded by what we see in porn.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of stuff I see in porn, like in behavior. Like, I certainly don't want that in real life.
It's like when they have a McDonald's commercial and they like shellac up all the food.
Yeah, yes.
It's like they're just putting glue on the dick.
Yeah. If you actually ate like a shellacked burger, it wouldn't taste good, but it looks great.
It looks fantastic.
But when you get a crappy Big Mac all smothered, like it looks bad, but it tastes so good.
Right. I totally get it. So that's one of the things that, like the whole, now I guess the new phrase is big dick energy. Like,
BDE.
I love that phrase.
Yeah, but it is a absolute thing. I'm convinced of it. I know guys.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can tell. But you know what's interesting? Sometimes I can tell, like, a guy has big dick energy, but then in the back of your mind, you're like, he probably has a small dick, and that's why he's doing that.
But I think there's little things that give that away. I think there's, like, an insecurity that's shown when it's, like, because big dick energy is always, like, it's, like, a confidence, but it's a cool confidence. Like, if you have a guy with a smaller dick, they're, like, overcompensating for the smaller dick.
And average dick energy is honestly wonderful.
Is it?
Yeah. I like the average size dick energy.
Fascinates me is I know actually two people that I'm thinking of, like two very close friends of mine who have what I would call small dick energy, but actually have giant dicks.
Whoa.
What's that? What happened there?
Wait.
Can anyone explain
small
this?
Dick energy?
That's called mommy issues.
I was like, what happened? I think you're right. Because both those people do have mommy issues.
Their
mom made their dick feel small.
Yeah.
But their dick's really tall.
Oh, interesting. And then they get into relationships where they're whipped. Okay.
I think. There you go.
That makes sense.
That might also be. Well, it makes no sense because they say in the bedroom you're the opposite of what you are in real life, right? Like,
That's
not true for you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, okay, it's true for me in that, like, I'm still aggressive, but it is true because I prefer to be dominant in real life, but in submissive, within reason in the bedroom.
Right.
I'm not going to bark like a dog, as we've addressed many times on this podcast.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I was asked to.
Were you really?
Yeah, by a comic.
Wow. Okay.
Guys, we can't forget to share these names after the recording.
Name so many
names. I need
names
to know whose dick is so big you could see it through the shorts.
We're gonna name so many names after. It's gonna be great.
You guys wait for the after show.
Or you just name names
just for us.
That's how I am. I'm more. I'm dominant within reason in the bedroom.
Now, what does that mean?
I don't like to be overpowered. Like, you know, the little pressings that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like
holding her head down?
Holding her head down? No, like,
I don't, for like a penis, like to, like, give a blowjob?
Or just
blowjob?
Like while you're fucking her, you just fucking hold her head down in the fucking pillow.
Oh, I hate when people do that.
If I did that, it wouldn't be like, it wouldn't be a forced, it would be like.
It would just like a placement?
It'd be a placement. It'd be like just to have like the.
Have you ever had a girl ask you to hit her in bed?
I had a girl ask me to choke her.
And what did you do?
I didn't do it.
Why?
Because I'm not a crazy person. I'm not going to get accused of raping
somebody. I think you're not a fun person.
Wait.
to be honest,
what I'm saying. Wait, you think you're going to get accused of
rape? If you're on
the
apps, you need to start choking, Sean. I got to tell you, this is going to really up your ante.
You know what it was? It was the person. Would I do it if somebody asked me and I thought it was a safe space to do it?
The dynamic has to be right.
Yes.
I thought it was a safe space to do it. I honestly feel bad. I understand. I get it.
You know what I mean?
I've run into this frustration, though. I've been frustrated with guys kind of lately. Not lately, I haven't been trying to fuck lately, but in the past, where they won't go as rough as I want them to. Now I understand fully that if you're not comfortable, you should not be forced to do something you don't want to do.
I want to interrogate that
discomfort. Why would that make you uncomfortable?
Oh, because of the, well, especially now, like back in the day, whatever it is, but I'm like, especially now, the world that we live in, it's like, you can't.
When sexual assault was just running rampant.
Exactly.
And we were okay with it.
It still is, but now we're not okay with it.
But it's also a thing where I don't like some of that's too extreme for me. I like light versions of that.
Yeah,
like, even if I choke somebody, it wouldn't be like choking them for real.
Well, that's good.
Right? Yeah. You
don't want to do that anyway.
Anyway,
I mean, that's like BDSM level that you're actually choking someone to where something's actually happening or they're really losing.
Right. Right. Exactly. No, that's not what. That's
I like choking, but I like, you know, like movie choking.
Right. Like I would be right. Except movie choking.
Yeah, movie choking.
Yeah, like Julia Roberts movie choking.
Yeah. Notting Hill choking.
dating.
No, but it's one of those things where it comes from a like, oh no, I'm still in the real world kind of thing. But like, if I was like new to the person, or I was like, I know this is okay.
Yeah.
Then I would go for it. Okay. And especially if they were into it, and I
when
and
everything. That one person asked you to choke her. Did she seem hesitant?
No, I didn't trust that. I didn't trust the situation.
Or she seemed,
it was
okay.
a one night stand.
Too enthusiastic about it.
It was a one night stand. That
one
I didn't,
night stand.
And I didn't trust
you
the situation.
You gotta fuck for a couple times before you.
Yeah,
shit,
yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. So yeah. I had enough wherewithal to be like, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So any dates that you've gone on so far, like where did you meet these people? Are you on dating apps?
I'm on the apps. And
which ones?
I'm on Bumble. I was on Tinder.
And Bumble's the one where the girl talks Hinge. To you first, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
How do you like that?
I like it. I've met up with a couple of people from there, but like, I'm kind of like, I liked it. I'm like, now I'm at the point where I don't like what it does to dating. I really don't. Like,
yeah.
I know a lot of people bring up this point about it, but it's like, just like I'm addicted to my phone, now I find myself just swiping like some king in his cat. It's like really,
it feels,
I know that's
feels
been said
gross.
A million times before, but it really is gross. And
I understand.
And I think that there's times where I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop for a while and then I'll go back to it at some point.
Yeah.
But I met up with some people from it. The stage that I'm at, like I'm 40. So the people that some people that I'm meeting up for, like I've had different experiences. I mean, I've met up with mostly nice people, but like sometimes you go out with people and it's like literally a job interview. Like the one girl I went out with, like she literally was like sneaking in questions, asking about how much money I made and stuff.
What money you made?
Like,
whoa,
like asking,
wait, girls do that?
Well, this girl did.
I think that like older women, like what's your age? What's your age bracket did you put on the dating app?
I put a 14 to. It was weird they had that as a choice.
Call BuzzFeed News.
No, I did. I do 24 to 52.
24
to 52.
I know.
Donnelly, you are. That is
that bad?
No, that range.
24
like,
is too.
That
young.
Is well, night and
you're not,
day.
You're not true. My theory is you're not like fully developed until you're 25 minimum.
Okay,
well, so I would up it to 25. I know that's a small change.
Well,
But
I'm not getting 20. I'm not dating. I didn't date anybody who was 24.
Right.
Yeah. And also,
not that you didn't want to.
I think your sweet spot would be like early 30s for someone that was 30.
You're probably. Well, that's who I end. That's what I end up going for. But also, to be honest, I haven't. I'm not like. It's not serious. Like I'm not. I didn't meet up a lot. I met on a couple of times. I went out.
I only met up with one person.
Did you really? Yeah.
It's hard. I don't know. I just don't want to be disappointed.
I gotta text someone back. Fuck. Sorry. I just realized that. That's mean. Okay.
No. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you hold those conversations for a while, and then, like, I literally, one girl I went, like, after, like, three messages was like, hey, I haven't been, I didn't check this in a while, can I, you want to just text me? And she's like, I'm not texting some random dude I just met.
Whoa,
and I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, what do you expect? I'm like, all right, fine. And she's like, yeah, sorry. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna.
Jeez, okay.
I don't care. Like,
yeah, she probably has had shitty experiences.
I'm sure she has, and I don't want that.
And
but I'm like,
sucks that she takes it out on.
Right, exactly.
And, I'm sure also, a lot of women do that.
But I'm also like, but that's why I also didn't like that I felt that way. I'm like, oh, this is disposable. I don't like if you're gonna react that way to me. I'm just gonna be like, all right, fine.
Bye.
Like I know myself. I'm not. I'm gonna stalk you on fucking.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy.
I don't got time for that. I'm not interested.
Exactly. So. I try to get off it as much as I can, but then it's such a curious thing to do that I'm on
it. Is.
So it's like it's weird. Like you're I'm conflicted because you're like, I don't want to meet somebody this way, or if I want to meet somebody this way, I want it to be like I'm actually into them.
Yeah.
And also, like as far as the pedestal thing goes, like if I do get a connection on one of those things, sometimes I'm like imagining in my head what it's gonna be like.
Of course. Then
it never is going to live up to
that.
Well,
when I look at people's pictures, I'm like, could I imagine like grabbing their hair in bed? Okay, yeah. Or could I be in the grocery store with them? Yeah, I probably could. We probably want the same kind of bread.
Right, you kind of like map it out and you're like, oh, they seem really cool. They're probably, like I think you
assign
things to
them. You make
them
into something that they're not because you don't fucking know them.
Yeah, exactly.
But like beyond, like I never do that from pictures beyond, like once I start talking to someone, like I was talking to someone not too long ago and like our text conversation was so fucking great, like it was so amazing.
Wow.
And like we
that's
both had like
rare
real, that is so
yeah.
rare.
But then the thing is I was like, oh my god, I was like, this could be the one. Like he was like great, just everything was great. And then we met up and like he was like a much better texter than
that happened to me years ago.
That's happened to me two times.
People,
I mean, I think it's because I converse really well in the written word, so my emails, texts, like all really, really good, high quality. But I feel like I'm not terrible to talk to in real life.
No.
And then, but just some other people are, because I think they get nervous in real life.
Yeah.
Or just awkward.
I think
like,
you're right.
Say, and I was just like, because both of them are just like incredibly awkward people
and
in real
life.
And to
be honest, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel like stand-up has almost made me into an alien.
Yeah.
Not where I'm like socially awkward. It's actually the opposite.
Yeah,
where it's
I'm
like,
too. I'll dive deep.
Yeah, you dive deep. And
definitely
also,
like, TMI because like, of stand-up. Yeah.
TMI. And also, we have no problem. Like, once you've had the experience of stand-up, like, nothing's really going to shake you in a social situation, because if you have the wherewithal to do that, if you have severe anxieties, yeah, you're going to be screwed. But I mean, like, the way it is now, like,
fucked.
Like, and also I think we look at people in regular society differently than we did before we did stand-up.
And that's because of the internet too, though, too. Like,
absolutely.
Just, but yeah.
Like, I remember, like, one night I was on my way to a show and I'm walking by, like, that music hall, Rockwood Music Hall, and I'm walking by and I felt like a Christmas Story, where, like, everybody, all these young professionals are in there having drinks and having fun, and I'm like, man, I wish I was in there doing that. Like, I
get
that was
sad
my,
all the time walking to spots on like a Friday or Saturday. I'm like, I would just love one night to be like a regular person.
Regular person.
You can like take off and do that.
It's not the same though, because if then you feel like you're just like calling out of work, or like it doesn't feel
like it's a relaxing time.
It doesn't. It just feels like, or like if you're going to a friend's birthday party, you're like, oh, this is like a burden, like when it should be fun.
Yeah.
Like, or like I could, yeah, it just, it doesn't feel right.
And it's stand up takes over. So it's like one of those things where we were saying earlier, where it's like you just become this other person that's like, it just changes you.
Yeah.
It changes your sense of humor. It changes everything.
And it changes how you interact with people. Because we were in Edmonton for shows this past weekend, and I kicked a guy out during my set because he was fucking talking. But then I'm like, I'm standing there as security's like telling him to leave. I'm like, ugh, this is so, this is way more comfortable for you guys. I don't really give a shit, but now I got to say words, but then you're not going to hear him because you just want to watch this guy get kicked out.
Right.
Stand up is so weird, and it fucks up your brain on how you interact with humans.
Exactly. And another thing I realized from these apps, which you probably realize, is like, oh, I'm really fun and I'm interesting.
Oh,
like,
my God, so much more interesting.
So much more fun.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. You really understand what a basic bitch is when you get on these apps. And like, in comparison, you look like a fucking most interesting woman in the world.
How are you
not, I'm not even that interesting.
How are you not writing back to me with a question?
Yeah. I know.
How are you not, how people are just writing statements and then I'm like, so I'm just gonna come out with another question? Like, how are you not?
How,
do you not know how a conversation works?
Or also people's terrible jokes. And I also have a real distrust for people. I already distrust people, but then I feel like uncomfortable almost like just making a joke about almost fucking anything, because you never know.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, you know, what people laugh at is a real, like, it really helps me to know, like, are we going to get along? And so, like, okay, so this is a fun story. For instance, this guy that I went on a date with, like, I liked him because he goes, where do you want to meet on our date? And I took a risk and I said the 9/11 memorial. And he thought it was funny and he met me at the 9/11 memorial. So I was like, there's hope for us.
There's
hope for us. It made me like love him, because I was like, should you even risk this? And like, he didn't respond for a while. And I realized he was just like getting on public transportation. And I was like, just take the risk, because like, you shouldn't even go on the date if someone is offended by your suggestion.
Yeah,
that.
Right.
That's not offensive.
I'm sure
people
hilarious. Sure, a lot of people would have not thought that was as funny.
Yeah.
Oh, see that.
But that's also what
happens. That's a good filter. That's a great way to filter people.
Yeah. It is. It's also comedy. It's like your sense of humor gets darker over time with comedy.
Yeah.
So like, you're doing that, and if you can find those rare people that have that you have that connection with in life, that's great.
Dude, and Steven, especially with long-term partners, like Steven and I would just make inappropriate jokes to ourselves in our apartment and just like see how far we could take it, because I got him on board too, because he has a dark sense of humor. And I'm like, this is blissful.
Yeah.
You know,
or just like roasting the shit out of people. Like, I know everyone's like, it's not like, it means you're like a bad, like, you don't love yourself if you talk about other people. And I was like, I don't want to be in a relationship with anyone who doesn't love talking trash about everyone we know.
Oh, that's what, yes.
Like,
what,
what
you
else
do.
Am I gonna
you
do?
You got the gift of gab.
And
yeah.
Also,
why not the same people?
I know like 3 people in my life that don't talk shit. Like,
boring.
Like, I know, but I'm saying like, everybody does.
Your mom, your dog.
It's a hobby.
My dog talks a ton of shit.
It's so funny.
But it's one of those things where it's like, stop lying. Stop lying that you're not talking about things.
I know.
It's such
a
phony baloney.
Don't get off your goddamn high horse,
exactly.
Please.
Everybody does.
Have you gotten physical with anybody since?
Yes,
have you
I
punched
have.
Anyone?
Yes, I choked them, but they asked me to.
No,
I've had relations. Yes.
Have you had sex?
Okay, Bill
Clinton. I've had sex, yeah.
How do you know?
Yeah, really.
I was trying to think of like a funny way to say that.
How do you, now, was it scary for you the first time that you had sex? It was for me. I was terrified.
Oh, I get scared,
and
yeah.
The whole time his penis was in me, I'm like, it's in, oh my God. It felt like I was losing my virginity.
I don't think it was, I think it was scary leading up to it, but not the actual act of it.
Yeah.
So I think I was like, I also, when you're coming from, you're in a relationship for a while, there's not much sex going on, you're like, oh wow!
You gotta jerk
can
off right
I still
before
do
you
it?
Meet her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can
yeah.
I still do it?
Yeah, yeah. And if it works out, you're like, oh, that's a win for me. You know.
Have you had bad sex since your divorce?
Yeah, but it was my fault.
Oh, I was gonna say, I feel like men have less bad sex.
Yeah, but it was.
What'd you do?
I tried to do a joke about it on stage. I had a cramp down the middle of my stomach
Oh my God.
I had a stomach cramp.
Wait, you got a cramp in the middle of sex?
Right in the middle of sex, and I shot up, and I was like, oh, I could not walk for a couple of minutes.
You know, honestly, it's annoying.
That's hilarious.
Because I've like gotten a calf cramp or something.
What?
Like, it's hard.
And I, I'm so out of shape. So I that was me. But
I get a lot of Charlie horses and stuff. It hurts.
I get them too.
Yeah.
I get them too.
Yeah.
So that was bad, and then it never picked back up. And so that was bad. But
oh,
it was
so
my
you didn't
fault.
Go back to having the sex after the cramp?
No, she was like, "Do you want to just watch TV?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do."
That's it. You got me.
That's the other thing about
when a guy has bad sex. Does it make you sad?
Does it make me sad?
Yeah, it makes me
sad.
Yeah,
I felt bad. But here's the thing.
Oh, well, that's
the older
different.
You get, the less bad you feel. Like,
but I never feel bad. I'm just sad.
They seemed okay with it. Like, they didn't see it. Like, they weren't like, like, it wasn't like they were mad. So
it's happened to most gals. Like, we've had to stop for, like, one reason or another. Like, you know, and there's so many instances when, like, the guy's, like, too drunk and he can't get his dick hard and you're, like, disappointed, but you're like, eh, it's happened.
But also, like, have you ever just, and I didn't even think about this. You ever just like make out on a couch and that's
well,
it?
Here's the
I'm
thing.
I'm going to start doing that.
That's when after I got separated, I did just have, that was more exciting to me than having sex.
Yeah.
I had a night where I made out with somebody and it was just the one night and it was like,
you just made
this
out.
Is the best thing ever.
Yeah,
it was like
the
most,
action.
It was fun that, more fun than any sex.
You
ever.
Should try fingering someone. Someone did that to me recently without sex and
so
I was like,
fingers
it's
mean.
An oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
Fingering is wonderful. Guys, finger more. Unless, you know, make sure the girl.
Yeah, just
well,
make
I'm
sure
also,
your hands are clean. Your
that's
hands
one of those things
clean,
that
though.
I'm like, you wanna, you don't know if you're good at it. Like, that, like I guys get insecure about that kind of
Do you know
stuff.
If you're good at fingering?
I don't know. I
you
try
know what is even a good fingering?
I don't know. That's what I mean, you tell me. I don't know. Yeah, what is it?
Slow.
Slow.
Work with the clit first before you go inside.
You got to work with the
for
clit
a while.
A while.
For a while.
Then I'm pretty good at it.
For a while.
Okay.
And don't tap the insides
don't.
Too much. That doesn't feel good.
Wait,
tap it like when
the
you're
inside. Like, because like, you can tap
you know
like,
you're like swirling.
Yeah. Like,
the,
it,
like
I
a
mean,
latte.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need the inside. You just need a lot of tapping.
You got foam on your beer. And you go,
like, when you're,
and it doesn't need a lot of like in and out craziness. Like, you just go in and out like slowly a couple times. Like, you don't need like, it's not like a, like you're like jackhammering someone.
Right. I think I used to be
nothing actually makes me less horny. Than describing fingering. Okay, go ahead.
Really?
Yeah, right.
No, that sounded disgusting. I'm
I
repulsed
think fingering's
right
my
now.
Favorite thing.
It sounded, there's like nothing sexual
nope.
when you're describing.
Nope.
It really does sound like you're making a coffee when
you
do
I
it.
Think it sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Teach their own, you know?
But I think I'm probably pretty good at it. But
okay.
I've never been complained to, but you know.
Do you go down on women?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I will do it.
You will do it.
What a hero.
You got to do it enthusiastically.
Do you
Sean.
Like doing it?
That's not what I meant. I said I will do it, but that's another thing that I'm like, I don't know if I'm great at it. So it's like you
do
have.
Do people come when you do it?
You got a beard. That's
is that good
and
or bad?
I don't know.
It tickles. It does. It tickles. But usually someone will laugh. Like, I'll just be like, yo, your beard's tickling me.
Yeah.
If it's your, because yours looks grown enough that it wouldn't be scratchy.
Do you ever get, your vagina ever get moods where, like, if you touch it, it just tickles? Like, it's not going to feel good.
Sure.
It only tickles. You're
I'm
like, I can't do it.
I'm super ticklish,
right now.
And sometimes I just can't even have anyone touching me.
Does that happen?
Yeah. I just keep laughing and I'll just
so
like lightly
funny.
Kick someone off.
Because no guy is like, my penis tickles right now. That's never happened to me where I'm like you're telling your
actually,
friends.
I've never
like,
heard a guy say that.
Never,
yeah.
ever.
It tickles my penis.
tickles
that
my
phrase, I don't think has ever been uttered.
No, it never has.
Your penis has never
just,
felt ticklish?
Yeah, it feels weird.
You don't got a ticklish dick?
I probably have a tickle down there, but I don't think I've ever verbalized it where I'm like, it's kind of tickly today.
But I think maybe like you can't tickly. Do it with a finger, but you could do it with like a feather, I think, maybe.
Tickle your
tickle
pickle.
The penis?
I think a penis could be tickled
you
with
can
a feather.
You could tickle, like people tickle balls. That happens.
Tickle or like
I've heard the saying, but like, does that feel like a tickle, because you know girls don't have balls. So.
Give your balls a little tickle.
It's not like a tickle, like a underarm tickle, but it's like it's very sensitive and very tickly. It's very like light and tickly.
Well, okay. So, is there any other part of the body that your balls being tickled feels like that a woman would understand? Like an ear?
Knee?
Like blowing in your ear?
No, because neck? That area, it's this weird, you know, it's all, you know, you got all nerves down there. So like, that area, it's unto itself. So like, no, probably nothing
the
else.
The balls are so mysterious.
What do you like having done?
Like, maybe it's like a vagina
what
tickling.
What do you like having done to your balls?
I
know every guy's different.
But I think we need to talk more about balls because, like, I think
we got to talk about
balls. We know a lot about penises, like, after the years, but, like, balls are still.
Balls are like an alien.
Besides,
head.
Like, holding them or, like, to putting them in my mouth, what can we do with them?
Yeah, what can we do with the balls?
Like, what do you mean you hold them or you, like, do you stroke
them? I don't know,
what
do you want? Like, I'll, like, hold up, like, and, like, massage them a while, like, I'm giving a blowjob. Like, I know not to ignore them, but I also, like, I would like some more creative ways to incorporate them.
The best thing you can do is a very light touching of them, like not where they're in your hand fully.
Yeah,
like that's actually one of the hardest things I think for women to do is like jerk off a guy and
it's a lot going on. Yeah,
there's a lot going on. So like, because we, you know, it's like that whole Seinfeld thing where it's like I have the equipment for it. I know how to do that.
Yeah,
but like when it comes to the balls, like the thing that works, it might just be me. Like it has to be very light. It can't
very
be
light. Okay,
if you start like
no, I'm never rough with
some guys. Yeah. Like when you grab the base of their balls and squeeze it, do you like that?
No. Oh. No. If you get your balls licked, that's exciting. That's
like
balls
in the mouth.
Yeah.
Balls in the mouth.
That feels good.
Okay.
Yeah, that feels good. Cool. Yeah.
Have you ever had a girl do something to your balls and you're like, ow?
No. No, I have not the balls. I had a girl do something to my penis, and I'd be like,
"What'd she do?"
Well, I've had
it too hard.
Some kind of girls with their teeth and blowjobs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of girls use their teeth, like will full on scrape your penis.
Well,
with
because
their
it's
teeth.
Wait, not on purpose, but like it's not protecting. You have to protect your teeth with your lips
over your teeth.
Yeah. But some people don't do that, and also some people just have bigger teeth that are harder to cover. Honestly,
I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not comfortable, and right away you're like, no.
Yeah.
Wow. Like it's very like it's probably how it is down for you guys. Like it's
I mean,
like
don't use your teeth on my vagina. Right. Good God.
So imagine what that would feel like.
I don't mind a light nibble, but
Well, no, nibble's different.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want a nibble on my penis.
Yeah.
Even a nibble on the penis.
Right. Nibble, well, nibble. I have a meatier vagina, so you can nibble like the parts that are.
Ooh, who's horny?
Hello.
But not the
inside.
I think everything has to be like almost like you're not touching it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
it's almost like where it's like when you feel a ghost in the room, but like for your balls.
So you want your balls to be haunted.
It's like an apparition,
I understand.
It's like very, very light.
Maybe
wispy.
Just hold it right next to it like there's an energy coming from your hands into the ball.
Like a magnet.
Like a chakra of your
balls. Yeah.
I just saw an article. They said they proved scientifically that humans transfer energy to each other. So
100,000%. I could have told you that, Sean. You don't have to read that article.
Yeah.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, so the lighter, the better. Like that's the thing.
Okay.
The lighter, the better.
It's like the more you're making dough.
Are you circumcised? You're making like meatballs.
Yeah,
that's some amore.
I'm just grabbing my.
Are you circumcised?
Yes.
Okay. So isn't the tip of the dick like the below the Darth Vader helmet the sensitive area or no?
It's sensitive. Yeah.
Is that the most sensitive on the dick?
Yeah.
I'm just taking this time to educate myself.
We're just for future endeavors.
You can ask me whatever
questions.
You want. Yes. Yeah. That's the most sensitive.
Okay.
Part.
That's okay.
And that part in the front under. Carriage. So the bottom of it and the front in that area.
My
other question. When girls give you hand jobs, has a girl ever jerked you off better than you can jerk yourself off?
No.
Even come close?
Probably come close, yeah. But
okay,
not,
come close.
It's been a long
my
time
theory
ago.
Is like
so
hand jobs, I'm like, man, I'm not going to do this as well as you.
Right. Normally,
but
you're not
doing it, but like,
oh, you do.
You know.
Yeah.
Do you like getting a hand job?
I like it more now than I like the idea of it more. I haven't got one lately, but I like it's one of those things where I like it's been years since I had one. So like, I like it more now than I used to. I like the idea of it more now than I used to. Yeah.
Like for me, hand jobs are only fun in like when you're doing them in a place that you're not supposed to be giving someone a hand job.
Yeah.
Like giving someone a hand job in like a bedroom is like, okay, are we?
Oh, really?
When I was
17. Yeah, like.
When I was 16, I got one on the steps of a church right near my house.
There you go.
Thank you, Father.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And she stopped in the middle and you were 16.
Up.
So I go, she stopped and I went, you can't stop. She was like, why not? I'm like, I can't explain it. You can't. You you just can't stop in the middle. It's bad. Because you get blue balls.
I heard
it's
you get cancer.
That's so funny.
You guys know what blue balls are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Aroused, and then the woman stops and walks away.
True blue balls are like horrible pain
really?
For guys. Yeah.
Like it's what like, kind really? Of, like what's the pain?
It's like I had them like twice in my life.
Ooh.
Like when somebody, when you start, and like I think it's when everything's getting ready to go, and then it's cut off and you're stopped. And
do you feel the pain in your balls?
You feel your pain in the balls. And it's like a hardcore pain.
Do you finish yourself off though?
I think that's how you're supposed to get rid of it.
Right.
But
right.
if you're on the steps of a church, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't because.
Well, one person doing it to another one on steps of a church is bad, but doing it to yourself
is
bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, if they just found you. Yeah, that's not good.
Someone's like, oh, where's Sean? And he's jerking off on the steps of the church.
And I was like, I don't think. Actually, it was a school. It was a school that had a
that's
church.
That's even worse. Okay. You're digging a grave, Shawnee boy.
I mean, it was your school. It's your school.
I was 16.
Or was it like a grammar school? Because then we're in trouble.
It was a random school.
It might have been a grammar school.
Because there was always people like, I remember this girl who like was in honors classes. She got like, all of a sudden she disappeared one day. And it was because she got, not expelled. What's the other one?
Suspended?
Suspended, yeah. She's suspended for giving someone a blowjob under the staircase.
But that's the best place to give
it. But the thing was like, I was just kind of impressed because like I really didn't see that potential in her. And I could tell all the teachers felt the same way because like they wouldn't, like when you know when someone gets suspended, like usually people aren't like super nice to you when you come back, but like everyone was like very nice to her when she came back. Like they had a newfound respect
especially
for
the guys.
Her.
But also, I don't know for you, but wasn't it a bit such a big deal when you would hear stories like that?
Oh my god!
I remember hearing a story about that, story when I was in like seventh grade and being like. It blew my mind that it happened. I could not believe somebody did it.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, yeah, especially because I wasn't like giving people blowjobs, so I was like, wow, these people are advanced.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like under the band room table. Yeah. Like,
it's like,
what?
It's like when you find out somebody does coke. Like when you're like.
Yeah. I was like going to my future Business Leaders of America meetings and these people were giving blowies and I was like, maybe I'm not using my schedule correctly.
Exactly.
This is amazing.
Well, you got to do it at school. You can't do it at home, you know, because then you're going to get caught.
You're going to get caught. Yeah.
If someone has a bad family life and their parents are out a lot, you can do it at their house.
Yes.
There's always someone who has some weird situation.
Or some guy with a van.
Yeah.
Date somebody with a van.
Yeah. Cars. They're good.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I used to have so much sex in the back of my ex-boyfriend's van.
Really?
We would listen to like Radiohead too. And
that's awesome.
My boyfriend in college, we would park in like mall parking garages and like have sex until I got so overheated with the car not not running and the air not on, because it was always during the summer that I was like, I guess we got to stop now because I'm going to pass out.
I had a ex-girlfriend who was dad had a van and we had did the same thing. But it was like a pool parking lot. We just went in there.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, vans. Yeah. You could do a lot in a van.
Yeah, a van's great.
A van's like a portable home.
It really
it is.
Yeah,
it totally
portable
is.
Bed.
Yeah, when those back seats are down, anything's possible.
It's magical.
Yes.
So any other fun stories? We got to wrap soon, but I don't know if you got any other gems up your sleeve.
That you were just waiting to tell.
Yeah. Oh, any other fun, like.
You got to let out.
No, not really.
Tell the masses.
No.
Any sex injuries?
No, just that cramp from that
stomach
recent,
cramp.
Stomach cramp.
Is that the first time that happened?
During sex, yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten that before. I get the same thing. I get a lot of Charlie horses. After I drink, if I drink the next morning, I get crazy Charlie horses.
Oh, interesting. I wonder what. Okay, that may. Though,
I think it's dehydration.
I was gonna say, I think it's a hydration issue. Yeah.
Sex injuries. I think one time, I think this happened. It was either. Sometimes you just like I think I was drunk and I, like I went I. On the side of her leg, I slammed my penis by accident.
Owie.
And that, you felt like you break
broke
your penis.
Dick, yeah.
Yeah, this is like when I was like,
did
my
you break
20s.
It or bruise it?
Can
dicks get bruised?
No, I think you can like, I think it's
you
cartilage,
can break it.
Right?
You can break it though. If it's hard,
yeah,
you can
yeah.
break it. We've had guys eat
I didn't
cell.
Break it, damn, but son. I was like, it was unusable for a little, like I was like, oh. I felt it. Like it was, oh, there was no. a sting there for a while.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. And then I've done like all the other stuff where like the zipper thing of like getting it caught a little bit on my, yeah. Like,
have you ever gotten your balls caught in a zipper?
That's what it got caught for like a little bit. Like it was
that's like paper thin skin.
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of those things where it was like, I got my balls caught a little bit and then I caught, it could have been way worse if I just did it.
Ooh.
If I kept going, I would have been screwed. But I stopped, and it was still really bad. Like,
woo!
It was bad. Yeah.
Did they bleed?
Yeah, there, it was like a cut. Yeah, it was bad. It wasn't like something about Mary bad, but it was bad.
My balls hurt.
So God, yeah, I've had the injuries. So I'm mostly just like, I'm just like wondering if I'm good. Whenever I have sex, I'm always like, I just want to be good at it.
I know, everybody does. Like, that's why, sometimes two people, the pairing isn't good. It doesn't mean that one person is bad at sex. It just means that that pairing is no chemistry.
Totally,
you
totally.
You should be able to feel like if there's like, if it feels like a smooth, not bumpy, is like my thing. Like there, there should feel like a flow to the experience,
a rhythm. Yeah.
So if there's a flow and a rhythm, I think you're okay.
Well, that's why I think about like when we talked about before, where it's like the submissive dominant thing.
Yeah,
I think there's a spectrum on that, and everybody has assigns themselves to one part of that. So I think if you have dominant, even if it's on the lowest level,
punch each other.
It just right. It's just going to be really awkward, and you're going to hit elbows, and it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
But if you have, it's almost like dancing in a weird way.
Oh, it 100% is.
Where it's like if you have a flow to it, it works out.
Yeah. It's funny, the first time my ex and I had a three-way, the girl was very dominant and my ex is very dominant, and they were just pushing each other.
Yeah.
It was so funny, and they're like, I don't even know how to move because we both move the same way.
And it's not a it's not like you said, that's not a BDSM fetish thing where it's like this is my thing. It's more like a this is just how I go. So I think that really that can dictate. But I'm always, I would rather like get the person off. Like that's hotter to me than like my,
oh, no, that's good. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. You're one of the good ones then.
I'm one of the good ones.
That's good. You want to show, you're single, right? You
know, I'm single.
And you love getting women off. You hear that?
I do. Yeah.
And that's Sean's a wonderful so guy. Funny.
I know.
I'm very funny.
Yeah, you should date him, guys, if you're cool and wonderful.
Average penis.
Where can we find you online?
I'm at Shawnee Time on Instagram and Twitter.
That's adorable.
S-E-A-N-Y.
That is your handle.
T-I-M-E, yep.
See, I never say it out loud because I always just see it, but it's very cute to say out loud.
It's funny to say out loud, right?
It's very cute.
I get made fun of all the time. Dan St. Germain makes fun of me all the time about it.
Of course he does.
And people call me it, like, randomly.
Shawnee Time.
People
calling you Shawnee Time.
Me too.
And can I mention my podcast?
Absolutely.
100%. And will you guys do it? Will you do the podcast?
Oh, yes. Mention anything you want to mention.
I have a movie podcast. It's called Defend Your Movie. I do it with another comic, Andy Fiore. So you would come on and we would put two movies up against each other and we would battle it out.
Have you done Spice World yet?
No. Do you want to do Spice World?
Yes. Have you done Spice World fan?
Okay. Sorry. You can actually defend Spice World?
Yes.
Oh, Shawnee Time. You do not know Corinne Elizabeth Fisher.
Spice World is like a really funny movie.
Aren't they? Are you a huge Spice Girls fan?
Yes.
Aren't they going on tour like again?
that always happens.
Okay.
There's like
somebody told me that.
Every 2 years they say, I never believe those things until I see it.
They would make $1 billion.
I can also defend the Justin Bieber documentary Never Say Never, which is an amazing film.
It is really good.
Is it good?
Yes.
Has he evened out? Is he cool now?
I don't know.
What do you mean, is he cool now?
Is he not a little shithead anymore? Is he
he's married.
Oh, he got married?
To Selena Gomez?
No.
Oh,
Shawnee Time. You are not
up. To Haley Baldwin.
The Biebs.
Haley Baldwin.
This is where the 40-year-old stuff comes in.
Haley Baldwin.
I forgot you were 40 for a second.
I know just a little bit.
That was his last girlfriend. You're not too far behind. But
I thought that was like a thing. Okay. All right, whatever. You know what it was? I was watching a video and they mentioned it was a paparazzi video with him.
Now it's getting weird.
It was an old one. Because I get caught
jerks
in these,
off the TMZ clips.
I jerk off TMZ clips. I get caught in these like Facebook and YouTube video
Black
calls.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
Oh my gosh.
So Defend Your Movie. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's on all that stuff. Dope. It's on Showbiz Studios. That's what we do with this guy Alex who runs the studio.
And if we want to see you perform, where can we find that information?
I put it on my Instagram, my Twitter all the time.
Perfect.
And I have a website, SeanDonnellyComedy.com.
Okay.
And you just go to @ShawneeTime on social media.
Shawnee Time.
So many people.
Shawnee Time.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us.
This thank you.
Has been Guys We Fucked, the anti slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that enables you to improve your mental health from anywhere at any time. Get matched with a licensed therapist from over 2,000 choices and message them whenever you need to. No commutes and no judgments. For a special offer for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/GWF and use the code GWF to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.